I don't know if I can put 30 years of faith in 30 minutes. But I will try to share with you my life before Jesus Christ and how I became Christian and what we are now. My name is Behzad Ibrahim Mustafa Aldoski. I've been born in 1968. When I get to start the life, the war between Iran and Iraq started. So I saw how Saddam, he support the officers of Iraqi army. And this was my first desire to be officer in Iraq army. So I graduate in 1990, but in same year, I don't know if some of you remember when Iraq army take over on Kuwait and then the war start between Kuwait and America, and I was one of the Iraqi officers. But after the war's finished or the war's over, many of our soldiers, they lost their life. I saw many bodies of the soldiers. So one question comes to my mind and to my heart is, why those young people, they lost their life? For what? And with what's happened, where is God? Sometimes we blame God about something we did it. But this was my mind. So after the war is over, there is something in army called reorganized. So they took me to another unity, but there was something in my mind. Why God allowed for these things happen and many people lost their life? But as a Kurdish man among Iraqi army, it was not possible for me to stay among Arab. I left Iraq and joined with Kurdish forces. Again, maybe you don't understand what I talked about, but some of you will understand that this Kurdistan region is part of Iraq, but they have different government and different forces. I became part of Peshmerga, the Kurdish militia, but again, there was, we call it the civil war, start between two parties. But the same question, it was in my mind. Where is God? As a Muslim, I start to open Quran and to go to mosque. So one day of Ramadan, there was a man, he came and he wanted to show us the personality and life of Muhammad. So he started to talk, and then he came to the story of one of his wife. Her name is Sophia. And he talking, that's the Sophia tribe. They tried to be against Muhammad and Islam. And Muhammad made decision to kill all the men. It's about 600 men. And take woman as a slave. I was sitting and lieutenant with Peshmerga, I have my gun sitting in mask. I became angry with this man because I thought this man, he make lie story about Muhammad. So I left mask and tried to find truth from the book of Islam. But when I found and opened the books of Islam, there was what you call like wars, an ugly story about Muhammad. Maybe some Muslims, when they heard to me that day, they became angry, but this was the truth. I left Islam, but I stayed empty. And the question of where is God, it was still remained in my mind. One day I walk with my friends. We were all of us captains, lieutenant, first lieutenant. So I found a man, In that time, also Kurdistan, it was very difficult situation. People, they are selling everything just to have money for eat. So I found a man, he has books, and he put some books on this books. Many boxes like Hemingway, Shakespeare, but there was a small book in Arabic, they write on it Injil Yohanna. It means the Gospel of John. So I tried to see how much money I have. And the price of this gospel, it was fit. The money that I have, I can only take the gospel. I put it in my pocket, I went back to home. My father, he was open man. So when he found the Bible, the gospel in my hand, he said, he asked me, are you going to leave Quran and start to read the religion of Christians? I said, why not? He said, just be careful, my son. My father, he was open mind. So when I start to open the first verses, and when, you know, as a Muslim, when I heard the Son of God, I threw the Bible, the gospel. I said, I tried to leave Islam and come to a religion talking about God, he has son. I left it. But sometime in my mind, I said, why I will make judge on a book if I not finish it? I went back open again. I read all the gospel. There was some verses really touch my heart. And one of them is John 3:16. I read all the gospel. I went to a person to ask him if there is any priest, because my understanding, Catholic, Orthodox, they are Christians. And maybe I will find priest to help me to understand gospel. There is a lot of things in gospel I couldn't understand, like Son of God, in beginning there was Word, it was God, these things I didn't understand. So my cousin, he had a friend, he was an evangelical pastor. We went to him and I put gospel on the table. I told him, I need you to help me to understand your faith. I thought all Christianity they have only one book, it's called Gospel of John. I didn't know the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. So he told me, you read only this? I said, yes. He, some kind laugh on me, say, you need to read New Testament. I said, what's New Testament? Say, I will give it to you. Take your time, 4 months, 6 months, read it and come back again. Oh, I was, you know, like Harry, and I want to know the truth. I took New Testament from him and I went back to read all of it. But I talked with Bishop Leroy also today. I said, 1 Corinthians 13, I feel that Paul, he wrote it for me. This chapter shake me. This chapter changed my mind and my heart. It's talked about, you call it charity, I would call it the love of God. I mean, Paul, he writes something amazing. Your worship, what you do, everything without charity, without love, is nothing. And also in John, 1 John 4:8, God is love. In Islam, there is nothing like that. I said, if you will look to the all the books in the world, you will not find a chapter or a verse like Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13. I went back to him and he started to explain to me, as a Muslim, again I will tell you, it's not easy for a Muslim to accept Jesus as God or Son of God. But when we discuss many days, I feel in my heart, first time I feel about the real peace inside me. This change, this started changing inside me, not out. So I talked with the priest. I told him I want to know more. He asked me if I can join with Bible study. I stayed with him 2 years until this was in 1995, and I accept Jesus in 96. 98, I been baptized. And I start, when people talked about their religion or about their leaders, something inside me tell me to speak, not to close your mouth. I couldn't close my mouth when they talked about Allah or they talked about Muhammad. Something inside me tell me you have to speak about Jesus Christ. Yes, these things really put me under pressure. My father, he was support me, but my cousins, they tried to kill me. Because when they asked me, are you really, you left Islam and really you became Christian? I said, yes. They became angry. They went to Mullah. Mullah told him, if you kill your cousin, you will be in heaven without any question. This is how Islam treat with anyone he want to be freedom and to leave it. So I start with this church called the church. It was Free Evangelical Church. The name of the church was Grace Church. But again, we are, as a Kurdish people, our language, our culture is different. And this pastor, he was not Kurd. He don't understand anything about Kurdish. So in that time I was in army. I resigned from army. I was a captain. Today, all my friends, they are field general in Kurdistan army. I left army and I start to go visit people in Duhok and Zahu. Then because of some problems in the church, I stayed at my home 2 years without anything, just reading Bible and to see what I will do. After 2003, there is people come from USA again. One of them, he was Mike Malateik, and some NGOs like Mission East and other Servant Group International from Texas, they come and they start to make a group in-house. And I joined with these groups to start the church. In 2007, they ordained me as a pastor. Until 2010, again, those people, they left Kurdistan, and I stayed 2 years without any work, without any church. But I had a friend. We went on the top of the Duhok Mountain. Now, until today, I call it the mountain of prayer. Every time we go and pray. And I asked God, I told him, I asked God to use me to give gospel to more people in Duhok. When I, in the top of mountain, I see my city, I know there is a lot of people. If they die, they will go to hell. Without Jesus, they will never be in heaven, in kingdom. So in 2012, I was sitting, and Brother Ashti, he's one of the evangelical leaders, called me and said, there is a group of people come from USA. They need you to help them with Kurdish and English and Arabic. Brother John Lapp. I thought he will be here today. He's not come. So Brother Joe and some group with him, I took him to the Turkish border, Barwari area, some villages. And sometime we discussed, he asked me, what do you need? I told him, we need a healthy biblical teaching. Because I told him what the evangelical church teach us, I found by their life it was not biblical. They have no love. They speak about love, but they have no love. They speak about forgiveness, but they have no forgiven anyone. I will tell you my story. There was some mistakes in our life. But when I come and read Bible, I found two persons. They make sin in the front of Jesus Christ. One of them, he was Peter. And the second, he was, we call him Yehuda, Jehovah. The disciples, he treat Jesus Christ. Judas, help me, because... So when he went and cried and asked for forgiveness and repent, but the other one, he tried to kill himself and he killed himself. So it was my option to be like Peter, to repent, or to be like Judah, yes? But again, I prayed and we start again to collect brothers. And after John, he went back to USA. The second trip, it was Bishop Leary. And who was with you? Brother Elmer, yeah? Yeah, it was in 2012, yeah? Yes. So I asked them also, same, we need healthy biblical teaching, like a conference. In beginning, we start with one conference, and then we ask three conferences in a year. So April, August, and December. We start in Duhok with a small group, but there was a people, like a refugee from Syria. We get to know them by brother, his name Deacon Raad, because he was also IDPs from Mosul. When ISIS controlled Mosul, this Catholic and Orthodox church, they escaped from Mosul, they came to Duhok and Erbil. So through Deacon Raad, we get to know some Kurdish people in Erbil. We start also small group in Erbil. From this group, after 2 years, they became like 25 brothers. We sent from these groups one brother to Suli, he started Suleimania, he started church, and one of them, we sent him to Kobani, north of Syria. And Pastor Sinan also was one of our church members. We asked him if he will go to Mosul one day. He said never, because of ISIS. But after 2020, I was in Lebanon for surgery, and I came back to Kurdistan. I talked with Pastor Sinan about Mosul. He changed his mind. He said, I will go and start church in Mosul. Mosul, the majority, they are Muslims, Arab, Sunni. They are very radical people, Muslim. But because what they saw from ISIS, today we have 4 churches in Mosul. And many Muslims, Arab, they are member in our church. And there is church in Kobani. And there is another 2 churches in Turkey. And 2 churches we have in Lebanon, in Beirut and Zahle. There was a small group in Tunisia. We visit Tunisia once, but we are waiting to see the situation to go to Tunisia again. So this is my story. And thank you for your time. Yes, I took this. Okay, guess I was a student in the military, engineering military in Baghdad.
Oh, you were fighting for Saddam.
In that time, there was nothing called Kurdistan region. Kurdistan region started after 1991. In 1987, 88, Saddam killed by chemical weapon 183,000 Kurds in maybe 1 month. Children, women, men. Some of them, they've been buried and they are alive.
So why was he trying to suppress the Kurds?
Because Kurdish people, they think they are not part of Arab nation. They are not part of Iraq. They want their own land or own country. So these things happen. You don't know the story of Kurds, yeah? Nobody of you? You know?
I remember I was always a reader of world news, and I remember back in the 80s when that took place.
Mm-hmm.
I just have these horrible scenes in my mind of the day. And of course, those, I'm sure it was much worse than what I see.
I tell you, when I was an officer, for me it was not something big to see the bodies, but in Kuwait something shake me and start. Now, as a Christian, I do everything for people before to die to know Jesus. So Jesus gave us how we can help people to have eternal life. The other religion, they try to kill people. So this is the difference between Jesus Christ and between other religions. Especially as a Muslim, I would say between Christianity and Islam, there is big, big difference. It's like light and dark. And I am...
What's the nationality of the Kurds?
They are, in Bible, they call themselves Medes. Have you heard about Medes at Persian? In Acts 2, when the believers became filled by Holy Spirit, there was nation. The list of nation, you will find Medes. But I am sorry to say, that time the Medes, they heard the gospel, but today majority they are Muslims. So we have to walk and to pray for them to know Jesus and became Christians. Yeah.
Where were you when the U.S. took out most of Saddam's equipment on the highway of death?
Actually, most of the tanks being destroyed by Air Force USA. I was in the Kuwait capital city, and then we returned to the Al Jahra, and then to Basra. So there was three stages for us as a military when you try to retreat. You cannot do it in one time. So step by step. But again, after that, there was uprising. The Shia group from Iran, they tried to kill officers and soldiers. So my two soldiers, they give me Arab dress, and with the Arab, we call it agal, and they saved me. Because if they saw me by uniform, they will kill me. Believe me, many times when I sit alone and think, I know there was God. He saved me from many, many difficulties. Yes, sir.
Tell them what happened in February of 23 and how that worked out for good.
Again, I will tell you, for me, it's not easy. Never I can close my mouth when people talking about God or about save and about faith. If they talked about Islam or they talked about Yazidi, I need to talk about Jesus. So there was group of Muslims, they talking about religions, these things, and they asked me question. I told them, I am Christian. They talked about Jesus Christ, how he's God. I tried to tell them he's God and he's also man. He came to die for us. One of them, he asked me if there is the name of Muhammad in Bible. I told him there is no Muhammad in Bible. He became angry. He said, no, there is prophet in Bible. I said, yes, Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 said, there will be false prophet after me. They became angry. So after 2-3 days, I went to Lebanon, and I was busy with the conference, and my friend, they called me. They said people, they start to go to the court, and they start to attack your family and your house. Why? So I found one of them to say, they put my picture in Facebook and say, this man, he disrespect our Prophet Muhammad. So there were 155 people, they write raised case against me in the Hague court. I tried to contact with my wife, my daughters, my son, grandson. They tried to change their place day and night for 4 days. Then they come join me in Lebanon. So this is what happened in 17 February 2023. And until today, when I came back, some people know me by picture. If I want to buy something, they will not give it to me. I went to a restaurant to buy fish. So there was a boy, he said, "Yes, sir, we have fish." I told him, "Give me two." So the old man came and say to my face, "Say, we have no fish, go away." I say, "Why? I will pay money." "Oh, you are the man that talked about our religion. I will not give you, if you give me $1 million, I will not give you fish. Go out." So this, I mean, there is many kind of persecution. And one of them, when they disrespect you also, you will feel. But when I came out, I was sad. But after that, that happened because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't care. Whatever you will do. Anything else? This side is silent. Yes, sir.
There are Muslims in the United States. Do you have words to suggest how we reach them with the gospel?
To reach them is like a glass. You have to clean it and then fill it. If you will not take Quran and these things from their mind, it's not easy. But I will tell you, it's difficult, but it's possible, because I was a Muslim. The one thing you have, the people in USA, please, you have to be careful. I don't hate Muslims, people. But if they control this country or any city, then you will see the reality of Islam. This is what happened even in the beginning of Islam. When Muhammad was in Mecca 10 years, he was peaceful. But when he went to the Medina, all things being changed. He started to kill anybody telling him, "You are not prophet." He took wives, he took money, he took lands. This is, Islam is two part. There is some verses being written or being, as according to their faith, being written in Mecca, and the others being written in Medina. When they want to speak with you about Islam, they will use the verses from Mecca. But after you became Muslim, they will tell you what's there in Medina. So you have to protect what you have as a peace and freedom. Because you see why the Muslims, they leave their country and go to Europe and come to USA. Why they are not staying in their country? Why? Because they have no freedom. They have no peace. So I think the best way is to talk with Muslim about Jesus Christ. First, you need to tell him, this religion is not from Jehovah. And Allah is not Jehovah. And Isa is not Jesus. Because in Quran, the name of Jesus is Isa. I don't know if the brothers, they are familiar. The name of Jehovah, they call them Allah, but it's different. And Isa is Jesus. But we know the personality of Jesus in Bible. Jesus is being sacrificed and died and rise from death. In Quran, denied all these things. He not die, he not rise from death. And he will follow Muhammad after second come. Jesus will follow Muhammad. So how you can't tell a Muslim man to leave Islam and come to Christianity if he will not, sorry to say that, but to clean his mind and brain and then fill it with the truth. It's not easy, brother, but as I told you, therefore, many times I ask Brother Joe, Brother Jason, the committee, to help us with more Bible, with more equipment, with more support, because our work among Islamic people and Islamic community is not easy. In 1997, the first man being killed in Kurdistan, it was Mr. I don't know if you have the book of history about church. His name Roger Cumberland from a church in California. He's been killed in 1938. Second one being killed, he was my friend Mansour in Erbil in 1997. The third one's being killed in Zaho, also he was my friend, his name Zewar. All of them being killed by Islamic radical group. So we need your prayer, and we need you to stand with us to give gospel to more people in our country. And Kurdistan is 95% they are Muslims. 5% they are Catholic, Orthodox, and Yazidis. So if we left or leave 95% without Jesus Christ, it's not good. And I have to be careful when I stand in the front of Jesus when he asks me why many people die and you didn't share the gospel with him. What will be my answer? So therefore, what I will do every time is to share our faith and gospel with the Muslims people. Yes, sir.
We hear that a lot of people in Iran are Christians. What kind of Christians are they? Are they
in Kurdistan?
No, in Iran. Iran, where the war is. We hear that it's the fastest growing church in America.
Yes. There is two. I mean, there is traditional churches, Assyrian, as Catholic, but after 2003, there was evangelical movement. They have like groups, call it Ilam Foundation. They sent many MP3 or Bible. They translate Bible to Persian. But since I think 2016, we spent a lot of MP3 Bibles. We gave it to Brother Ali and Brother Rida. But 2 weeks ago, Brother Rida, he passed away because of American Air Forces. Or it was Israel, I don't know. So, but I'm sure he's with Jesus now. Yeah.
You had to shut down the churches.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a book. I don't know if you shared with him. We have a book we wrote. Say yes, for I was in Lebanon, and I had contact with Pastor Sinan. Really, Pastor Sinan, he was under very high and very, very, what you call, risk. Because there was a man in the ministry of religion, his name Khalid. He called Sinan and told him, if you will not write a letter and deny that Behzad is your bishop, we will put you in jail. Pastor Sinan told him, no way. Bishop Behzad is our bishop. Then we tried to continue our churches. We closed the church. We start the service in our own home. So there was one service in Sinan's house, and Peter's house, and Saeed's house, and Lillian. There was, we had one building. After persecution, there were four houses. It became church in Erbil too, in Sully. But after the church, we write a letter to the minister of religion. We told him, if this will happen, we don't want any registration paper from you. We will continue as Anabaptist church. Then after a while, they respond and they said, you have rights to go and open your church again. We told him, no. If you open and closed, it will not be from you. It will be the church decision. But they sent letter to Pastor Sinan, and they called him. They said, we are very sorry. Please open your church again. So after that, I prepared myself, and I went to Erbil. We opened our church again. But really, I will tell you, Pastor Sinan, he is one of the brave servant in Anabaptist Church in Middle East, because he stand with the brothers one side, and he stand with me and with my family too. So I will never forget that. And I will tell you, I am writing a book about my life from the beginning, who is my family, my grandfather, and until today. And I will try to write it in Kurdish and Arabic and English. And I will try to share with you some copies. No questions?
So do you have any contact with Emmanuel King?
Yeah.
And Ryan?
I know only Emmanuel.
My wife, Ryan is my wife's grandson, right?
Actually, I know there was a family came with him once. But after that, Emmanuel and his family, they came alone. So they came to Sunday service sometime. And also he invite us for the lunch. So yeah, we know Emmanuel long time ago.
They were all three at the last cousin. Ryan and Emmanuel's family are great. They were all three at the last
cousin. I will be happy if they will come to our Sunday service, but sometimes they are busy. I think they focus on Yazidi who are come from Shingal, because they are speak Kurdish but different, what you call, like different text,
different dialect,
yeah, different. But we understand each other. But they are working with Yazidi people. And also I didn't mention that since 2013 until the end of 2025, we, as Anabaptist Church, we distribute 100,000 of food parcels and blankets to the IDPs and refugees. And one man said, in the government said, there is no NGO, no church distribute this kind of things like Anabaptist. So this was good testimony from a man. He's working with the governor office. We help many IDPs in Sulaymaniyah and Erbil, Duhok, Zaho, even in Mosul. We took, after ISIS left Mosul, we took more than about 5,000 food parcels. And there, after that, Pastor Sinan, he started the church in Mosul. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, there is no question. Okay, my God bless you and thank you for your time.